History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Chad Gentry from Nashville, USA, and we're going to be talking a bit about his 90s worship nights and 90s worship docu-series he's been doing. And we're going to hear a bit of his story today. Welcome along, mate. Tell us your background. Where were you born and raised?
Yeah, well, so great to be with you, Matt. First of all, I got to say, love the name of the show, History Makers. It's a very important song for what we do in 90s Worship Night, celebrating Martin Smith and Delirious. So I had to give that shout out real quick.
Cool.
but I'm from, I'm currently, as you said, live in the Nashville, Tennessee area here in the United States. I'm from just a little north of there in the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. It's where I grew up. And as most teenagers, when I was about 13 and 14, had no interest in going to church, only went because my parents drugged me. You know, I know a lot of people have that story as a kid. I was interested in playing ball and getting ready for high school and all that stuff. And some of the kids that, you know, were in the youth group at the church, they kept nagging me about, man, you got to come to summer camp. You got to come to summer camp. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. I got other things to do, you know. But they were just relentless, you know, Matt, with getting me to go. So finally, it was the summer of 1995, right before I entered my, you know, right before I started high school, I broke down. I was like, okay, I will go. So I went with them. And, man, just God just got a hold of my life. Just really had a conversion experience at that camp. Which is obviously the most important part about it. But then the second most important part was that was where I started developing a passion and a calling for worship ministry. So immediately got back from that camp. I was, you know, mind you, I was only 14 years old, getting ready to turn 15 years old at the time. You know, so I really spent the next several months like improving on guitar because I kind of fiddled with guitar a little bit before then. But the next 6 months, I mean, I was just at it, you know, and I was up, you know, just soaking every bit I could in with other church musicians. And finally, me and the pastor's son, who was a drummer, and then our youth pastor, who was a great singer, we decided to form a live worship band because prior to that, the youth pastor was just singing with tracks. So we started that in the beginning of 1996, and which was, as I tell everyone, with 90s Worship Night, that was the time to get into 90s worship was that year. I mean, that was such a monumental year with everything that happened with the Brownsville Revival is what we covered, you know, here talking a second about the docuseries episode one. But then just as equally importantly, that was when the Integrity Music, Hosanna Music, Shout to the Lord album came out featuring Darlene Check and, man, just some of those wonderful, you know, early days of the songs that came out of Hillsong. You know, that came out later in 96 and our whole church just ate that up, and it really revolutionized our worship team. So got in at a really good time and, you know, just kept doing, you know, worship ministry through the years. And obviously, you know, we've seen, you know, just the industry evolve, methods evolve. But really, it comes down to – it's always going to come down to sincere people leading great songs to the Lord and the congregation being engaged. That's what it's all about.
So cool, mate. And, you know, I also made a commitment to the Lord at a youth camp when I was 15.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's when my life really changed. You know, I had a religious upbringing but didn't really know the Lord until then.
Yeah.
And straight away got into Christian radio, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember playing all those amazing 90s worship albums and songs over the years. They had these big black things back then. Do you remember those things, the vinyl records? Yeah. It was like a CD. Do you know what a CD is? You know.
Oh, yeah. I know very well with all of that. And we try to, you know, offer, you know, those different options when we do live events, you know. So, yeah, that was a great way to consume music back then. You know, digital's great, but there's nothing like putting that fresh new album, you know, in your player.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to your story in a moment. I'm going to digress for a moment. So I actually just heard recently about when worship music really, you know, became big on Christian radio and Christian music.
Yeah.
One of the first albums was Third Day Offerings.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard, but they just announced that they're reuniting again for a big tour.
Have you heard that? I have heard that, and it's very funny. We are actually doing a 90s Worship Night live event in Atlanta. It's going to be on August 2nd, 3rd, like a little conference, and then Worship Night, 90s Worship Night on the Sunday night. Mark Lee of Third Day is actually going to be guest appearing.
Wow.
So we're going to be including, you know, some of those Third Day. There has been some discussion about potentially having a mini episode of our docuseries talking about Third Day and their contribution, you know, to worship right at the end of the decade there with, you know, Your Love, O Lord, you know, obviously God of Wonders, which, you know, that was brought to Mac and it was on the City of the Hill album, obviously, but then kind of became a Third Day staple. And then obviously, I mean, Mac did a lot to really, you know, help popularize, you know, Anya's Day, the Michael W. Smith, you know, worship chorus. So they definitely contributed a lot. I'm super excited that they're getting back on a tour. I mean, definitely one of the greatest bands ever. I mean, Mac's one of the greatest voices ever. Mm. So, you know, and that was just such a monumental album, Offerings 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mate, if you want me to come over and be a roadie for that event at Atlanta, Georgia, you know, I'll pray about it, hey?
There you go. It's going to be a good time. I'm really excited about it, you know. It'll be great seeing Mark and, you know, just talking about some, you know, potential, especially now with them doing the anniversary. It's like, man, time-wise, that would work perfectly, you know, to do a little mini episode. So
yeah,
we'll see what the Lord has in store.
Oh, good, mate. Fantastic. Well, anyone who knows me knows that I often say Third Day is the best band in the world. And in fact, many years ago, my son had an operation, and I contacted Mac Powell and asked him to do a video for my son, and he did. He made this little video and said, "Hey, Josh, it's Mac Powell from Third Day. Just let me know that your dad sent me, that you're in hospital, and I wanted to pray that the Lord will heal you and bless you, and, you know, God loves you, Josh." I was like, wow, that is, any worship artist, well, any Christian singer that would do that for my son is like top of the pop for me, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when they first, well, when their major label, you know, album came out, which is actually they had already recorded the label, released it, you know, independently, locally, and then they took the same recordings and released, you know, their debut album. But, I mean, they just immediately took off, you know, and our youth group loved them. And I actually got to see them on their second album. They did like it was a headlining tour, but it was small venues.
Yeah.
But it was them and a band called Grandma Train open for them.
Yeah.
That was one of the best concerts, man, of that whole era that I went to. Because it was like in this little school auditorium, you know, like a high school auditorium. It's just kind of funny thinking now. I mean, you know, now they're playing arenas, you know. Mm-hmm. But, they've been such a blessing to the community and just such great guys. Yeah, I mean, they've really carried the banner of Jesus Christ, you know, with their music and their artistry and just how they've lived their lives. And I'm excited that they're getting back and at least going to be doing this tour.
Yeah, man, I remember Grandma Train. They were like a Christian version of Nirvana. They were cool, weren't
they? They were awesome, man. They were so good. I mean, that's what I try to tell people is like the Christian rock scene at the end, like the mid to late 90s, it was amazing, you know. And of course, that was the style of music that was really popular in the secular world, too, you know, which I think we're kind of seeing something very similar now in the Christian music. The CCM genre is that we have a thriving, you know, like kind of alternative country, whatever you want to call it, you know, alt pop, some of that stuff that's very much mirroring what's, you know, going on in the mainstream world, but really competing with it, you know, neck and neck. It really reminds me of the late 90s with the rock scene.
So tell me a bit more of your story. What did you do after school?
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew that, you know, being a worship leader and doing worship ministry was always going to be, you know, a calling in my life. So that's really, you know, what I pursued. And, you know, through the years have at times been a, you know, worship pastor or definitely done a lot of what I call worship evangelism. You know, my wife and I, we go out and guest lead at various churches. So, I mean, we were focused on that 100% up until, you know, the pandemic, you know, in 2020. And that was when, you know, a very close friend, pastor friend of mine by the name of Danny Chambers, who I had actually met in 1996, the summer that, yeah, I really got into worship music, and he became a huge mentor to me because he was such a pivotal figure, you know, in the 80s and 90s, especially with the youth worship movement in the United States. But he passed away in September 2020, right after, like literally, like I think a week and a half after my 40th birthday. So it was really, it was unexpected, and it was very painful time for me. I think I literally, the only time this ever happened in my life, I was up for three straight days. I couldn't even sleep.
Yeah.
I was literally up three straight days. Holy Spirit just hovered in our dwelling place, my wife and I, for that whole time, at three straight days that we were there before we left out of town. And that all culminated in I had a direct experience with the Lord, where he came to me and I knew that, yeah, my ministry was going to be going in a different direction. Did not know at that time what that meant or how that was going to take shape. But I think that just kind of installed that little, you know, that little seed of faith to where when that was downloaded to me, which it ended up being in December, you know, just a few months later, that I would be ready for it. And lo and behold, that December 2020, that was when the whole concept of 90s worship night came. It was during a Christmas service. God moved. Someone was healed out in the audience just worshiping while we were playing Silent Night of all songs, you know. And out to lunch later that day, that's when 90s worship night came together. And, yeah, we took the Christmas holiday. My wife and I prayed about it, had a few more miraculous divine experiences. And then we officially started in January 2021. And at that time, I had no idea. Like, I just thought maybe we'll do some events. Maybe we'll record some music. You know, the whole docuseries, you know, wasn't even at the forefront of mind because I'm not a filmmaker. You know, I had been in music and been in worship for a very long time. But my only exposure to film was like making music videos here or there, you know, through the years with helping different friends or artists that I was working with. So I kind of had to learn on the fly how to do it, you know. But I knew it was the Lord. I'm like, well, God, give me the strength and give me the resources and the people that, you know, we need to connect the dots with to make this thing happen. And so we just went at it, you know, and one of their very first interviews we were able to capture was, you know, Lyndall Cooley and talking about the Brownsville Revival, which ended up being, you know, episode one. And that's really set the tone. And you're just seeing it now. I mean, I didn't even know that that was going to be episode one when we were working on it. But again, the Holy Spirit gave direction and just how that's dovetailed now without, you know, I don't know what y'all are experiencing, you know, Matt, over where you're at. But I mean, we're really seeing a reawakening here in America. You know, and I hear that it's happening in the UK as well with some of our connections over there. So I think just doing this docuseries episode and reminding people about how God moved specifically in Pensacola, Florida, with the outpouring there, the Brownsville Revival in the mid to late 90s, it's stirring up a lot of memories. It's getting people hungry again. And I know that's for a fact because I see the emails and direct messages from all over the world about folks who've watched the episode and have been really blessed by it.
Yeah.
You know, and then for us to be able to, I think we talked off air, but episode two is going to be about Darlene Check.
Yeah, come on.
It will be as good, if not better, than episode one. You know, we did, we had been over the last, because we've had it mostly done for a couple years, but we're kind of waiting on a few, you know, elements to get finished up. But we test marketed probably about 100 people that we knew, and it brought everyone to tears. Every single person was very, very much moved by it. I mean, pretty well, a very similar reaction to what we've got with episode one, but I think it may even be deeper, you know. And what's so fascinating about it, and I know that you've interviewed Darlene, known her through the years, but just how she was really, you know, the mother of modern worship.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not, you know, that's not a title that she ever said or that she ever wanted to be. I know that for a fact that she talks about that, you know, very sincerely, you know, in the docuseries episode. But that really started a chain reaction there. It's a really, really neat story of how that Shout to the Lord album happened. And just for that, like I said, that made such a huge impact on our church in a little town in Indiana in the United States. So it was touching the entire globe. And that's what really paved the way for what we're seeing now with modern worship and female leadership in worship.
Yeah.
So that we're really dedicating that episode to just all the female worship leadership that is currently in ministry, and to celebrate that and hopefully get, you know, even more people on fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, Darlene was one of my first ever interviews for History Makers 20 years ago. And I just went to a conference where she was leading worship. And she had a 50-piece orchestra. doing Shout to the Lord and The Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, which is another big song for us here in Australia. And there's a little tie there as well, that song, Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, is like an anthem in Australia. And it was written by Jeffrey Bullock, who was also at Hillsong. And I actually just got a confirmation that I'm interviewing Jeff soon. And
great.
He did songs like Power of Your Love and, you know, Eagle's Wings, a lot of great songs,
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we just talked to him on the 90s Worship podcast that, you know, I'm doing in partnership with Praise Charts.
Yeah.
They got him on, which was awesome. You know, I was telling him how, you know, one of the things we're going to cover in a mini episode, I think, is the Smithton outpouring, which a lot of people haven't heard of. Mm. But it came out of the Brownsville Revival. It was in Smithton, Missouri. But it was a really tiny church. It just seated like a couple hundred people. They had over 300,000 people within like a 3 or 4 year period come through. But their theme song, every altar call, was Jeff Bullock's I Will Never Be.
Oh, really?
I Will Never Be the Same Again.
Wow. Yeah.
So we were doing an episode on that. So it just shows you, and Jeff had no idea. He had no idea that had ever happened.
Yeah,
But, you know, really, Matt, that's one of the things that stuck with me talking with all these writers of these 90s era worship anthems. They didn't write these songs thinking they were going to go all over the world and change millions of people's lives. They didn't. They literally, it was just came out of a hard time, of a hard experience, whatever the case may be. And they wrote it for the local congregation,
you know,
or for the local men's meeting or women's meeting that their church was having. And then the Holy Spirit just got a hold of it. It was like, you know, an arrow getting shot out, you know, far so and good. Near. And, you know, we definitely saw that with Jeff's songs and a lot of the other Hillsong writers as well. There was just something special about that group of people at Hillsong in that era.
And tell me a bit about how people can find the docuseries. It's on YouTube. How else can they find it?
It's exclusively on YouTube,
so
you could just search, you know, basically at 90s Worship Night, which I got on my hat here, spelled out 90s Worship Night. You can just search, you know, docuseries episode one, and that'll take you to episode one. The name of the episode is Revival Firefall, featuring Lyndall Cooley and the songs from the Brownsville Revival.
Love it.
And except episode two will be Darlene Check. It'll be Shout to the Lord featuring Darlene Check will be the name of it. So that'll be coming out in October.
Wonderful. Well, mate, so good to catch up with you. And I was over in Nashville a couple of years ago, and I visited K-Love Radio. And there's a couple of Aussies that work there.
There are a lot of Aussies who find their way to Nashville. I've definitely met several, and they've all been, you know, just super cool. And, you know, just the ones who've come over that are involved in ministry are, like, super on fire. And, you know, it's very, very encouraging. And I'm just so glad we got connected.
Very
super excited about, you know, your History Makers, you know, program, and hopefully we could, you know, keep in touch and, you know, help spread the word out about especially this episode two with Darlene Check coming up, because it's going to be very impactful.
So cool. Well, Chad Gentry, it's been wonderful catching up. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.